Auction number 16713, Mr. M. Waterston, Reel 2.
Mr. Waterston, Reel 2. You were working down the pit, I believe you said, Mr. Waterston. What kind of work was it you were doing?
Well, when you went down the pit, you went down the pit, you had to pony your drive. You see, the putters used to bring tickets into the men to fill and bring them out, and you used to have to take them from the putters to the flats. See? And then the other older lads used to run the sets and all that. They used to take it to the shaft, you see, by haulage, you know. But you used to have to manhandle the tubes from the putters to the flat. And sometimes it used to be good, and sometimes it used to be bad, and other times it used to be very bad. Because you used to assemble at the shaft bottom on a morning, say about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the forewoman used to detail you to your jobs to where you were. If you went to you detailed to a flat, you know, where you assembly place for the wagons, for the tubes of coal that came from the face, you used to assemble them in what was called a flat, and the flat was. And then there was the landing where the haulers used to take them from. And sometimes you got a job on a flat that was on the level, nice and dry, plenty of height. Other times you used to get a job to be on an incline and damp, and it wasn't very good. Another job I had at another flat, the water was up to the bottoms of the tube, up to my waist, and I used to come home. I actually went through a pair of boots a week till my father got sick of it, and I went and asked the woman to give us a fresh job. And it was after then, when I was getting a bit older, that I got onto this set running jobs, and that was coupling up the sets for the haulers to pull them out and all that, and bring them right out to the shaft and all that. And that was, instead of being a putty and all, and making money, getting paid per tube and all that, I was going into the part of the job, the senior, like, the wagon wheel and all that was just keeping the wagon wheel repaired and all that, but was all standard diesel wheels, you see. And I never made a lot of money. Never. I never even made a lot of money when I came back from the, went down the pit and was coal hewing after I come back from, you know, from the war.
The hewers and the putters were the cream of the pit, you might say.
They were the big lads, you know. They were the big lads, and the big lads used to put the fillers and that. They were the men. They were the men with families and that, you know. Coal was coal hewing then mostly, hand picking, you know, hewing the coals with the pick and shovel, knee cutters and anything like that, you know, cutting machines, and electric drills out. My father was a driller, and he used to have to drill the holes with your hand, you know. He used to drill a 6-foot hole and get three halfpence for it.
And he was paid on the number of holes that he drilled?
He drilled.
And you said yours was a date law, fixed wage, in whatever job you were doing. How much were you getting down
the pit? We were getting down the pit. I was just getting the same wage. We got... Each 6 months, we got a rise of 3 years. up till you were about 18. And when you were up till about, well, 16 really. When you were 16, you were supposed to be putting and making money. But as I say, I was always seemed to be kept apart to do those jobs that you had to use your head on, you know. You know, running with the sets and keeping the coal going and that, you know, keeping the coal going out. I mean, I never did a lot of driving. Mostly, I was mostly on like what they call the wagon wear, you know.
What did you wear down the pit? What was your clothing?
Just a pair of shorts and a big heavy boots, hobnail boots, and a vest. It was pretty warm. But if, like where I was on wagon way, it was pretty cold because you were in the wind way, you see. Driving. It was pretty cold. I mean, when you work, I mean, you never used to feel it because you used to have to be on the go all the time.
How did you light up so you could see what you were doing?
We had electric lamp that we used to carry in our hand with a solid battery. It used to be charged up every day. Sometimes it was charged up, sometimes it wasn't. But if that lamp went out, you used to have to use one of the Davy oil lamps. It was only till about 1938 when the putters and the drivers and all that got electric lamps. And then when they started to issue that after the NCB took over, you know, because the pits were privately owned up to about 1937. And then it wasn't until the National Coal Board took over that you had to wear a helmet and then they'd give you a lamp to put on.
Were there accidents?
Did I? Yeah, just. I've never known any really heavy accidents, but I've known men being killed. Odd ones, like. Just about once or twice, I think, the pit was closed because someone had been killed. And then, if anyone was killed down the pit, and he died down the pit, you know, if you had an accident down the pit and he died, then the pit used to stop. And everybody used to come to bang. And it doesn't matter where he was killed or anything like that, the safety men used to go right through the pit, inspect the whole of the pit, and you were off all that day. It was the only time you got a holiday, really, you know, and somebody...
You didn't get paid for that day?
You didn't get paid for it, no. No.
Hard life down the pit?
Very hard. It used to be tough. It used to be tough. And we used to be tough. You could come home from work out on a Saturday morning after going to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, being run off my feet all the time. I've come home and I've gone and played football. I used to play junior football for Silks with juniors. Play football and then come back and then go dancing. I mean, we were able to do these things. I can't understand why these youngsters kind of do the deer. I mean, they kind of entertain themselves. We could. We always were. I mean, we never had anything. And I mean, we didn't even have a wireless. The gramophone was our main entertainment.
When you joined the Territorial Army, you said your brother had already joined.
Yeah.
This is your older brother.
My older brother. You see, we lived in a street in Hort called Martland Street. And in that street there was a lot of families with lads and lasses. And we were all firm friends. Everybody in the street was firm friends. And what one did, the other did. Where one went, the other went. See? And what other one played at, the other played at. I mean, and we, because we're the more active, my brother, he was the most active at the lot. He was the ringleader. But if that used to go wrong, Bob used to get wrong. Bob heard that. Did he what is in his lot? We'll be with him next week again, just to say. We used to, on a weekend, you know, finish their work at the pit. We used to get off. We used to down walk and from Houghton to Sunderland, Durham, sand races and all that. They all, you know, walk. And then we formed those cycle club, and we all used to go cycling. All of us, I mean, about 10 of us lads in the street. And, I mean, we are still firm friends yet. I mean, when we went to the DLI dinner, we're all there, we'd be friends from childhood.
What year, what date did you join the Territorials?
I joined the Territorial Army in 1937, March 1937.
How did you join? What was the process of joining?
Well, I was only 17 and you had to be 18. No, I was only 16, March. I wasn't 17 till the May. And my father had to go with us to sign on. My father had to sign us on, get permission for us to join.
This was down at the local drill hall?
The local drill hall at Houghton, not at Durham. At Houghton.
So your father was quite happy with you joining them?
Oh, I mean, he was as regimental as a button stick, my dad. He loved his army. Bob's got tons of photographs. And nearly most of it, I mean, my sisters, the two lads, have all been in the army. One was, he's a farrier right now, he's the household cavalry. And the other one's in the Remy. They've just finished their time in the Remy.
So you went to the drill hall with your father, who had to give you permission to sign. Did you have to sign a form, or what was the process?
We signed a form. We got the King's Shilling. And
do you recall who it was that was there when you went?
Major McLaren. He was Major McLaren then. He finished as Colonel McLaren. Captain Goodenough. He was only lieutenant then. Austin Kirkup was another second lieutenant. Mr. Scott was another lieutenant. He was manager of Horton Caldry. McLaren was manager of Horton Caldry.
So they were all men in the managerial and professional classes?
They were all Caldry managers and all that, nearly all of them.
Did you have to take the oath when you joined?
Yeah.
How was that done?
Well, we stood and raised our right hand. I was signed on with two lads. One was worked for the store. He was in the office at the store. And the other one, I don't know whether you know him, Bob Studden, around Durham. They were the family. They had a shop, you know, a furniture shop. At the old place, and he lived at Durham. It's only about 3 years since he died. And I'll be seeing his wife, Eva Gomer. It's either this weekend or next weekend. The Red Cross. She leads the Red Cross down at Durham. And they're giving an annual dinner for the prisoners of war. I think it's next weekend. I think it's the 23rd or something.
It's the Durham Light Infantry you joined, obviously. What battalion?
Yeah, the battalion. D Company.
Now you said you were underage. Did that make any difference to the training that
initially? No. Well, it was only a matter of a few months underage. No. And I fell in line okay with it because, I mean, as I said, I could drill and anything like that.
What was the drill hall? What did the drill hall look like? What kind of a building was it?
Ooh, just a stone building. Two offices. You like a headquarters. Yeah, a storeroom at one side, the head captain's office at another side. Big hall, like the one you're there now. Upstairs we had a bar and sergeant's mess and a wood floor with a big fire stove at the one end. And it was closed up to make room for us. We used to do our drilling there. And we used to march around in there and we used to learn to slope arms, learn all our drills and that in there. We used to have a firing range down underneath. We used to fire at .22, you know, rifles. And we used to have competitions. We used to have social life and all, you know. It was great. We all used to join them together and have dances, suppers, you know, and all that.
You see, you joined. Did they give you a uniform straight away?
Oh, yeah. If you had one to fit you.
I was going to say...
My brother went to camp in his civvies, and he got bits and pieces when he went. He went to Whitby, the first camp. And my first camp was at Annick.
What uniform did they give you?
Khaki uniform, putties, heavy boots, pig cap. I wish I'd had that photograph out there, and I would have showed you. I'll get it out.
Was it the old First World War style with a high collar?
High collar. Plenty of brass buttons and plenty of dog collars and all that to polish up. Brass cup, you always supposed to be shining. Neither doing them, then you used to be doing every time you wore it.
How did you put your putties on?
Start from the inside of your foot, the angle. Wrap them round outwards. Till I forget now when. 13 turns, and it used to have to finish where there was a long tape on the end that used to go to a point, long tape on, that you used to have to finish at the same of your trousers there. And you used to tie it with your tape, tuck it in, and then your trousers used to double over the top. And there was all sorts of games on to keep your trousers at that mark. When you pressed your trousers, you used to press your trousers, turn your trousers inside out, the bottom of your trousers in, so that this was pressed. And that you could shave yourself with the crease. Just fall just below the knee, 4 inches below the knee, 4 fingers.
Wasn't it been an easy thing to learn to get that exactly right?
Oh, just be awful. You used to see the last gun. You used to get your putty started round it. When it got the calf of your leg, it would start to stick out, you know. You used to unwrap them again and get it so it would all smooth. And you used to see some of the lads, one day, perhaps the putty was up here and they would think of putting a bandage on, you know, something like that. You know. But it used to have to. Used to mark it, mark your boot, you know, where you used to start from. And you could put them on 1,000 times. till you got used to it, and then you could. And you used to have to mark it for which putty went on the left leg and which on the right leg, you know.
Did they have any effect upon the circulation of your legs?
Yeah, they used to cross varicose veins. If you put them on too tight round the calf of your leg, when you went road marching, your boys, you knew about it. You used to stop the circulation, you know, on your legs. Used to cripple you.
Were you allowed to stop and slacken them off if that
was Well,
happened?
You used to stop every 10 minutes, every, you know, 10 minutes in the hour, Martin. You wouldn't stop. I mean, you could fall out, like, if you're peeing around like that. I mean, you do used to. I never remember it happening to me, like.
In addition to the uniform, did they give you anything else when you came, when you first went in?
My rifle and bayonet.
What was the rifle?
The Enfield 303.
And the bayonet?
18-inch bayonet. Uh-huh. Used to trip me up.
Did that? Did you take it home with you, the rifle?
No, no, no. That's what I say. The stores was in the drill hall, and you used to. You used to have to draw your rifle out. You had a rifle number. Draw your rifle out. When you used to, we used to put your drills in, you know, before camp. And you used to put so many drills in, and you used to get your bounty, you know. And that was the lot of that. When you get, you said, get your bounty, you know.
How much was your bounty?
I forget now. What it was, 30. You used to get up here, chilling the deer. Here, what's the deep bounty used to be now? If you got all your drills in, I think you got about £30. Something like that. If you got all your drills in. You used to get so much a drill, you know. When that's, you used to get two drills. Every time you went, you got two drills.
That was like going on two meetings, when you say two drills.
No. The drill was one meeting. But when you used to go to one meeting, it was in two parts, you see. And you used to get two drills for it.
And you got paid for that, did you?
You used to get a shilling a day. But that used to go to, if you got 30 drills, you got your...
That was your bounty.
That was your bounty, yeah. That was for your bounty. I was one of the first ones, the 8th Battalion, to learn how to fire the Bren gun.
Well, we'll come to that when we talk about weapons in a short time.
Well, when we...
So
when
what kind of equipment did they give you? Well, you've got uniforms...
The old-fashioned the web equipment.
It was webbing, was it?
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, webbing equipment.
What exactly was it?
It was belt, brace, pockets, the cartridge pockets, three on each side, small haversack, bottle, water bottle, and a big pack, you know, a big haversack, and then a kid bag.
Did you have to take that home with you?
You took all that home with you. Shirts, vests, pants.
How did you keep it clean, this webbing?
Blankoing. You used to have to blanko it, and that was a game on. We used to have competitions for that, blankoing. When we
went
to camp.
Is there a secret to doing effective blankoing?
Yes. You used to have to get it just so. And just the right colour. Because, you know, every regiment used to have their different coloured blancos, you know. Those was like a khaki colour. And you used to, when you first got your equipment, the first thing you did was put the big washing pan on and boil it. Boil all the marks out of it and everything. So you can just imagine like what it was like at our house when it's torn or so. And if anybody used to touch that, it was on their life. My dad would be standing inspecting us all the day. Ah, that'll not day, so that'll not day. We'll let it get that day. We'll just have to dump it in the peel and wash it, scrub it all off again and start again.
Your father must have been a help with his own experience.
He was telling us what to do. The first time we took a rifle into the house, he was sloping arms, we had nearly broken the up the bulwark, breaking late, the gas laid off. His regiment, as I say, his regimental is but sick. He wasn't very, you know, he's just about the same height as us. And we're, his legs was a bit bored with riding horses and all that.
How often did you meet at the drill hall?
Well, as I say, we used to go there regularly because it, we used to have social evenings and all that.
The official training evening, drill evening.
Official training used to be every night, 2 hours a night.
And you could go for the full week?
Full week, yeah. Bleeds. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sometimes we used to go for a cater on the weekend, or, you know, go for a weekend out camping, you know, with our bivouacs. During, you know, when we put in down our training and that.
Do you remember where these would be held?
Oh, aye. Up top of Miller's Hill there. Up top of Copped Hill and up that places. Walk from Copped Hill over to St. Harbour and not. Used to march all the way around there to St. Harbour and back.
And on a weekend, what would you be doing?
In the training.
When you did a weekend the camp?
The weekend camp, you used to. It would be a. You used to cook your own meals, at least the cooks used to cook your meal, and you used to have your Dixies and that. You used to, it was all with conikies and different things like that, you know, for meals. What we used to do, the rifle firing, we used to go walk from Horton to Whitburn to the rifle firing range. We used to fire all our weapons down there. We used to clean our weapons and learn to clean our weapons, learn troop, you know, maneuvers and that, how to camouflage and different things like that.
Was it training which was still influenced by the methods and tactics of the First World War?
Yeah. Nothing had changed. Nothing had changed. Till we got this new training out, you know, and light infantry training out, you know. When you come to a halt, you stood to attention and stood straight at ease, you know, and yet every command was from stand at ease, shone, you know, and parade, you used to say. You never shouted attention. Not like that.
Were you digging trenches as well as part of your work?
Weapon pits. We used to dig weapon pits, you know.
You weren't digging anything like First World War?
No, not like First World War, not like that.
The drills that you started when you did when you first started, what were the initial drills that you learned?
Well, first drill was arms drill. The first things we learned was learned how to clean and fire a rifle.
How did you do that?
We used to get in groups, in sections, on the floor in the drill hall. The sergeant used to strip the rifle down or show us how to clean it properly, how to pull through and how to use a pull through and things like that, to oil it, the weapon and all that.
And was this inspected religiously?
Oh, aye, religiously. Yeah, boys. Little tin pan blinking officers used to come round. Fly in there, get it out.
Were there punishments for...
Oh, aye.
In the drill hall itself, when you were drilling yourself, were there punishments meted out for anything that wasn't right?
Why, not as when we were drilling, you know, not when we were at the drill hall, really. But when we used to go to camp, I mean, you used to get CB and all that, confined to barracks and all that. Oh, when you went to camp, you were a regular soldier. When you went to camp, you were a regular soldier.
You didn't get fined in the drill hall for any misdemeanors?
If it was severe, you know. Oh, you used to get... pay stopped or money stopped out of your bounty and that. You used to have to pay for damages or anything. That was one of the the offences we always did, barrack room damages. That used to always come off your pier, whether it's out wrong or not. Used to say, same with barrack room damages. Officer. Used to say, well, that's, yeah, we didn't do that. He said, no, that's just in case you did do it, you know. I said,